Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Hello and welcome to, or welcome back, Spark Radio. Please bear with our crackling fire as we're having some problems connecting to internet, which means I'm not logged into my switchboard, nor can I open a chat room. My tech is not here. Enjoy the crackling fire. Imagine it was a campfire if that was for you, or a fireplace. If it's cool where you are. Hi. Welcome to Spark. I am Melanie, and I'm glad to be with you. And as I said, we're having some internet issues. We had some severe storms roll through the Midwest last night. There's a lightning strike very close to our house, and yes, we did have our computers turned off, and we did have our network turned off, so I'm not sure what the issue is, although, as I mentioned over the crackling fire, my tech guy is not here, so you may end up with tonight's show without the switchboard, which means I'll be unable to take calls and without a chat room. So unfortunately, that makes it more of a monologue for me. So if you have questions or comments about tonight's topic when you're listening to the MP3 recording, please send me an email at brainbonanza@gmail.com. And you can just put Spark comment or question in the subject line so that I know what that is. The good news is my computer booted up. So the other thing that may have happened is that something went wrong at our internet provider. So we'll have to diagnose that later. So enough about that. Hopefully, in the past week, you have had an opportunity to take an action on something that you've heard if you listened to the last segment. That's always, you know, the best way to make a change. Take a baby step. Do one thing. Just get started. Tonight, excuse me, because it is evening here in the Midwest, our temperature being in the 80s Fahrenheit. It is spring, late spring, going into summer. Our temperatures are still, well, actually this week they're a bit below normal, but we've got some interesting weather fronts moving through. So the good news is the storms were last night. So I was out completely offline last night. So let's take a look. The subject tonight is sparks to make choices that lead to success. And we're going to be discussing the book, 12 Choices That Lead You to Your Success by David Cottrell. My last name is C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L. And you can find this book either at Amazon or you can go to www.cornerstoneleadership.com. That's corner, C-O-R-N-E-R, stone, S-T-O-N-E, leadership, L-E-A-D, as in dog, E-R-S-H-I-P.com. Because in addition to the book, there's also support materials, PowerPoint, a lot of different things that were created to go with the book. And tonight I just wanted to introduce you to David's book and to some of the 12 choices that lead to success. And David has written a number of these, I call them shorter books. They're about 130 pages long. And they are, excuse me, about a variety of topics. So tonight, we're going to take a look about, and this is from the inside cover of the book, about success, how to achieve it, keep it, and enjoy it by making better choices. and you can make the choice to begin accomplishing your goals. To create your own luck as you become the successful person you want to be. So there's a discipline process that we talk that David talks about. This book was published in 2005, and it opened with definitions of choice and success. Choice is number one, the act of selection after consideration. Number two, the power or liberty of choosing. Success is the achievement of something desired, the gaining of prosperity. And then the quote at the bottom of the page says, the person who wakes up and finds himself a success hasn't been asleep, said Wilson Meisner, U.S. dramatist. So the book is about choices that lead to success, and particularly 12 choices. And the choices are divided into three categories. The first one is the character choices. He calls those the foundation of success. Part two, the action choices, the movement toward success. And part three, the investment choices, the profit of success. So we won't have time to talk about all 12 choices tonight. We will be highlighting several of them. And then I encourage you to investigate the book further, to really explore the choices. So the choices are the character choices, the no victim choice. Don't let your past eat your future. How often do we do that? When we spend so much of our time and energy focused on what happened in the past, things that we are unable to change, and then we don't have the time to focus on the future. So the character choices that David identified are no victim, commitment, values, and integrity. So the no victim choice. And Harvey Firestone said, never be bullied into silence. Never allow yourself to be made a victim. Accept no one's definition of your life, but define yourself. That was Harvey Firestone. Okay. I'm going to excuse myself for a moment. Can't reach the network location. Okay, yeah, we have an issue, and I don't know, even with the network turned off, we had a power pulse last night, so I'm hoping that our router's okay. So we'll just, I was trying another computer. So we'll see what happens. So how often do you fall into poor me, that idea of being a victim? And David defines a victim as a person to whom life happens. So you can choose to be the victim of everything and poor me, and it all happens to me. Or you can be proactive rather than reactive. How do you respond to the unexpected? When something happens that's outside of your control. And David suggests that positively dealing with the unexpected, looking for solutions, not excuses, is a conscious choice to avoid victim mentality. Those of you who are regular listeners to Spark have heard me talk about that idea, all parts of that idea, over the last 2.5 years. And whether it's Wayne Dyer's book, Excuses Be Gone, personal accountability, it's choosing that positive perspective, and that when you do choose that, and we'll get into attitude in the next section, but it makes a difference in how effective you are at finding solutions. And then he tells the story of Jim and some different things that happened to him, and how he always knew that it was not what happened to him, but his response to what happened that made the difference. So, yeah, how do you respond to what happens? So be proactive. Continue moving in the direction of your goals and your dreams. And David says, success is not an event. It is a process that will have peaks and valleys along the way. You know, we all get into that, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this happened, or da-da-da-da-da. How long do you stay there? And sometimes it helps to have a coach, to have an external voice. I give you another perspective. He talks about the idea of it's important to move forward no matter what. That not everything bad that happens is our doing. That there are situations and circumstances that occur outside of our control, whether it's the oil spewing into the Gulf of Mexico here in the United States, whether it's the severe storms that went through last night. It's all about choices. And then he suggests he shares the story of the late Thomas Watson, the brilliant man who founded IBM, who really pushed his leadership personnel toward the resiliency of stumbling five times and getting up six, quote unquote. He would not tolerate the paralysis of victim thinking. And Watson goes on to say, quote, if you solve it wrong, it will come back and slap you in the face. Then you can solve it right. Lying dead in the water and doing nothing is comfortable because it's without risk, but it is an absolutely fatal way to manage, unquote. So, even an incorrect action is still action and still moves you. At the end of each chapter, each of the 12 chapters, David offers three things you can do to make this particular choice. So one of them in the no victim choice is to spend your energy searching for solutions, not excuses. No matter what happens, keep moving, one step in front of the other, toward personal and professional goals. He talks about the commitment choice. That's the second character choice. It's subtitled, Passionate Enough to Succeed. Regular listeners will also know I'm a certified facilitator for the Passion Test. And have done a number of segments about passion and being clear about your passions in your life. It's very, very powerful passion. It pulls you, gives you that internal motivation. The quote that David uses to start the chapter is, when work, commitment, and pleasure all become one, and you reach that deep well where passion lives, nothing is impossible. Author unknown. So how do you find the passion that pulls you, the commitment, the choice to be passionate enough to succeed? Because it's happened to me, it's happened to all of us. We make that decision, set the goal, and, well, things happen, and da-da-da-da. So he talks about how commitment requires passion. It's not about just checking off what we've accomplished toward our goal. It's a choice. It's an attitude. It's a belief that what you're doing is important enough to stay the course, to stay focused, keeping your goal visible, and then successfully achieving it. David says, quote, people who are successful have a passionate commitment to success and are willing to pay the price to achieve it. Unquote. Now he talks about being passionate about commitment. Then he goes on to explain that your dreams were the main motivator in the first place when you visualized what it was you wanted to achieve. You know, it's really finding out about being passionate about reaching that goal. And some of you may know that Benjamin Franklin made a list of traits that he either wanted to get rid of in his life or traits that he wanted to cultivate in his life. And then he graded himself on his progress or regression every day, not yearly, not weekly, not monthly, daily. And his question that he asked himself was, did I get closer to accomplishing my goal today, or did I lose ground today? Now, excuse me, we know that that which is those expectations that get inspected are the ones that get achieved. So you have to inspect what you expect. I'm not sure who said that. What we measure gets done, as I've heard before as well. And David Cottrell goes on to say that Franklin was committed enough to the goals to invest the time to measure his progress, keeping his goals in view. That's passionate commitment. Now, that's something that I don't always have in front of me are what are my top five goals. So for me, that was an action step that I can add to my life to help me make that choice, the commitment choice. He also suggests surrounding yourself with others who choose commitment and passion. Because if we do that, we tend to gain energy from those with similar goals or commitment levels, which encourages us to have greater progress. He tells a story of the great Gadzoni, who had completed a challenging and dangerous tightrope walk over Niagara Falls. The wind was howling around the aerialist's ears, and stinging rain pelted him as he inched across the rope. Met with enthusiastic applause from those waiting on the other side, the great Gadzoni was wringing the water from his cape when an excited fan approached, urging him to make a return trip, this time pushing a wheelbarrow, which the fan just happened to have with him. The great Gadzoni was hesitant, having barely made the first trip across in the high wind and pouring rain. But the spectator insisted, "You can do it, I know you can," he urged. The great Gadzoni thought a moment, "You really believe I can do it?" Oh, the spectator nodded excitedly, "Yes, yes, definitely, you can do it." "Okay," said the aerialist, taking the wheelbarrow from the man, "get in." Makes one wonder whether the spectator's passion for the feat lost its luster at the last minute when he was asked to commit and invest in that goal. An interesting story. You know, and think about, you know, is it really that dream, that vision that we want to achieve? We know that it's important. We know we're passionate about it. What's getting in our way? And David suggests the missing ingredient is that choice to commit, to go where no one has gone before, and along the way maybe experience and endure what no one else would want to experience in order to discover the success we dream of. You know, we are really powerful individuals. Our mind will do amazing things. Once you make a commitment, you know, there's also that saying about things that people believe are impossible are being done every day by people who don't know that, or something like that. And the fear of failure becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, do you have the commitment to do whatever it takes? Or you can adjust your goal and realize that maybe you're heading down the wrong road. But how often does the fear of failure paralyze, slow, stall? And when you're dealing with goals, there's that choice to commit with passion to do what others can't do, won't do, are not doing. And then it's the investment. Now it's put in the time, the money, whatever else you can or you need to, and that does mean some sacrifice. He talks about what passionate commitment is in the story of Julie Moss in the 1982 Ironman Triathlon, which was broadcast for the first time on NBC television in Hawaii. 2.5-mile swim, 100-mile bike ride, 26.2-mile marathon run. And those who watch that race have in their minds the image of a 23-year-old Julie Moss
crawling across the finish line in the darkness, totally dehydrated, legs unable to support her for the final yards. Because this was her first Ironman, and her goal, finish. She dreamed of crossing the finish line and envisioned herself waving to the crowd as she broke the tape. Now think about the humiliation of a body so out of control it could barely crawl. But Moss had committed to finishing, and so she did, dragging herself, crawling over that finish line, only 29 seconds behind the first place woman, Kathleen McCartney. She inspired millions of people. And that's the example David uses of not just commitment, but passionate commitment. And if you have passionate commitment, you'll often make those sacrifices to reach your goals. So he shares some attributes. Actually, he shares 9. I'll share a few with you. Attributes of people who have passionate commitment. They do what they say they'll do because they committed to do it. You can count on them every time. When they tell you they'll do something, you can consider it done. That's number one. Number two, like Julie Moss, they believe they can achieve a goal so strongly that they envision themselves succeeding in crossing the finish line. They vividly see success. Number three, they can verbalize their commitments. Doesn't mean sitting around talking about what they plan to do, but they put their goals into words and then get busy taking action. Number eight, most committed people don't understand the term fail, F-A-I-L. They think it means one step closer to success. Oops, lost the bookmark. Excuse me. Do you have passionate commitment? Are you clear about what pulls you in your life? I highly recommend the passion test. And next week we'll be talking a little bit more about Passionate Life Secrets, a new program that's being launched by Chris and Janet Atwood, the creators of the Passion Test. So tune in next week to learn more about Passionate Life Secrets. Now, there are 3 things you can do to make the commitment choice, David says. One of those is surround yourself with people who are equally committed and passionate. And a second one is clarify your commitment. Put it into words and begin making it a reality. What is it that you want to accomplish in the next 2 years, for example, in fewer than 20 words? Do you know? And my regular listeners know, too. And as you'll find out, my wonderful first-time listeners, I love quotes. Quotes can be inspiring. And you can share yours as well. Vince Lombardi said, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor." How committed are you to excellence? Now, excellence and perfection, ladies and gentlemen, are 2 different things. Sometimes we confuse them. We can be excellent and still have imperfections. The third character choice is the values choice, choosing the right enemies. So we can come back to that one if we have time. We're going to move on to the next category. Oh, I will tell you, 4 is the integrity choice, doing the right thing. The next category, part 2, are the action choices, movement towards success, and he has 4. Do something, persistence, attitude, and adversity. Gandhi said, "A man is the sum of his actions, of what he has done, of what he can do, nothing else." Mahatma Gandhi. So the book does contain inspiring quotes as well. The do something choice, don't vacation on someday aisle. Quick, answer this riddle. 3 frogs are sitting on a lily pad. 1 decides to jump off. How many frogs remain on the lily pad? If you said 3, you're correct. Deciding to jump off and actually doing it are 2 different things. And then he talks about people who say they want to write a book. They have a good idea. He encourages people to share their story. And it is work writing a book. a slow process, and I'm trying to find a way that makes it faster for me. And I think I may have found one way that will speed up the process for me. It takes persuasive persistence to get words on paper, said William Faulkner. So books often are left unwritten, unfortunately. And he says, people are vacationing on Someday Isle. And Someday Isle is from a quote that he shares from Frank Lunn, the author of Stack the Logs. Have you ever said, quote, I'll be happy when I lose 20 pounds, live in a bigger house, get a new boyfriend, girlfriend, make more money, etc.? You get the picture. Someday Isle is not a dream vacation spot. It is an imaginary destination to which you will never arrive. It's the carrot on a stick, perpetually in front of you. So close you can see it, yet you will never reach it. Don't vacation on Someday Isle. And so that's he uses that reference to Someday Isle throughout this chapter. Take an action every day. When things go wrong, shake it off, take another step. He encourages you to move beyond the status quo, that you cannot improve while you're in the rut of doing the same things over and over, he says. To encourage you to take action, to continue to learn, because it keeps your options open. The more you learn, the more you earn, David says. And then he recommends the best keep doing something to become even better. Carl Lewis, the Olympian track star, even after setting world records, made the choice to continue working and training with his college coach. You could run a little faster and jump a little farther. And then he asks, how many great authors have written just one book? How many great leaders have quit after 1 year? How many great coaches have quit after a first win? And winners keep winning because they keep doing the necessary somethings to win. He talks about the importance of communication in this do something section, the importance of being able to speak in front of people, to write clearly and concisely, and to listen effectively. How are you on your communication skills? Okay, that depends. I'm knocked over. I've got one left. And the last story I want to share with you in the Do Something section has to do with you want to keep moving forward through your fear. There's a story he shares about those who give up too soon, just before they turn that corner to success. You know, I always wonder how they know that. How do they know that people fail right before they would succeed? Or they quit, excuse me, right before they would succeed. I don't know how they measure that one. He encourages or says, quote, successful people keep moving even when they are scared and have made mistakes. Unsuccessful people quit before they have the chance to be successful. So the story he shares to illustrate what happens to many as they're working to be successful. A man meets a guru in the road, and the man asks the guru, which way is success? The bearded sage doesn't speak, but points to a place in the distance. The man, thrilled by the prospect of quick and easy success, rushes off. Suddenly there comes a loud splat. Eventually, the man, now tattered and stunned, limps back, assuming he must have taken a wrong turn. So he repeats his question to the guru, who again points silently in the same direction. The man obediently walks off, and this time the splat sound is deafening. When the man crawls back, he is bloody, broken, and irate. I asked you which way to success, he screams at the guru. I followed your direction, and all I got was splatted. No more of this pointing. Talk. Only then does the guru speak, and what he says is this. Success is that way, just a little past splat. how many of us are strong enough to make that effort long enough to get past splat. He also in this section talks about doing something to look successful. And if you want something different in your life, you're going to need to change your actions because doing the same thing over and over gets you the same result. One of the suggestions from the three things you can do to make a do-something choice, spend more time on action and less time on thinking about what you want to do because those who take action usually fare much better than those swept along by what life brings. Second action choice, the persistence choice, learning from failure. Edison said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. There it is again. Persistence. Attitude, the enthusiastic approach, the attitude choice is the next choice. And for decades, I have been helping people understand that attitude is indeed a choice. And that's the same thing that Martin Seligman said in Learned Optimism. The quote at the beginning of the attitude choice is, there's a little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it is positive or negative, said W. Clement Stone, who I discovered now over a decade after I'd been saying PMA for positive mental attitude. It was probably closer to two decades. I thought I created PMA, and then I learned that, no, it was W. Clement Stone in the late 60s. So how would you define your overall attitude? Are you usually positive and optimistic, or are you usually negative and pessimistic? Excuse me. Being positive, being happy is a choice from inside, and you get to make it yourself. Your attitude is internally controlled. There's a lot of power in our attitudes and the choice to be happy. And there's a lot of research out there about being happy and what makes people happy. Think about the situation where someone is diagnosed with a serious illness, and doctors will say that many times the difference between surviving, those who survive and those who do not, is the attitude of that patient. Coaches in sports confirm the attitude of the team, critical in the game plan. School teachers confirm positive kids have positive results. In business, a Gallup poll revealed 90% of people say they're more productive when they're around positive people. John Gordon's Energy Bus is another great story about positive energy. You know, sometimes if people understand, this is from David's words here, quote, if positive attitudes make us happier, more productive, and more successful, why would anyone in the world choose negativism, a self-inflicted wound, and all the ramifications that come along with that choice? Why would people choose to hurt themselves by being negative, unquote. You know, and sometimes that's what they've experienced. That's what they've seen growing up from their parents, their family, their teachers. That's what they've learned. And sometimes that's the first response, and they stick with that, and they think that's the way it is. I say my first response is pessimism, oh no, what can go wrong, and I have minimized the amount of time with that response to a lot of times under a second before I spin it to what's the opportunity here? Where do we go from here? David then asks or comments that positive, enthusiastic people add energy to people around them while negative, cynical people zap energy. I mean, you know people like that. They walk in a room, they just suck the energy out of people. And there are those people who just being in the room excites people because of their energy and enthusiasm. Can you think of a successful person who was consistently described as negative and cynical? And in David's experience and research, he couldn't find one successful person that was described that way. Optimism and enthusiasm is two traits that were in most top employees and leaders, regardless of industry, profession, or age. Then he goes on to talk about how you cultivate enthusiasm. Real enthusiasm is a way of life, he says, yet many people allow conditions to control their attitude rather than allowing their attitude to help control conditions. Positive attitude generates enthusiasm. You can cultivate that habit the same way you cultivate the habit of waking up early, exercise, etc. Winston Churchill once said, an optimist sees an opportunity in every calamity. A pessimist sees a calamity in every opportunity. And you've likely heard the story of the two shoe salesmen who were sent to one of the world's least developed countries to evaluate the business potential. After several weeks, the first employee sent back a report to headquarters that said, no market here, nobody wears shoes. A few days later, second employee sent back, great market here, nobody wears shoes. And so goes on to give some examples of optimism versus pessimism. How can you grow optimism? He talks about six laws of the growing optimism. I'll share a few. You reap only what you sow. So if you sow apples, seeds, you're going to get apples. You don't get oak trees or bananas. So if you want to be optimistic, you need to sow seeds of being optimistic. Positive actions for positive results. And be around positive people, he says. Number two, you need to know where to sow. Because putting seeds on rocks doesn't get you fruit. Got to have fertile ground to sow your seeds. And his examples of fertile ground are positive projects, positive people, spending energy to achieve positive goals. And number three, well, let's go to number six. Be easy on yourself. Have the strength and desire to continue sowing. Because if you have a poor harvest and you're mentally beating yourself up, that only wastes valuable time. He also adds, you can never like anyone else more than you like yourself, and don't expect others to like you if you don't hold yourself in high esteem. So, one of the three actions you can take to make the attitude choice is to keep your eyes open to new opportunities, even when they come from the most unexpected places. Enjoy the opportunity to succeed. The next action choice is the adversity choice, conquering difficult times. That's a very powerful chapter, too. Part three, the investment choices, the profit of success. Here, David identified relationship, criticism, reality, and legacy as the four choices. And Robert Collier's quote, make every thought, every fact that comes into your mind pay you a profit. Make it work and produce for you. Think of things not as they are, but as they might be. Don't merely dream, but create. So I encourage you to take a look at 12 choices that lead to your success. And more importantly than look at it is to take actions. And then he adds a bonus gift. Final question. Am I prepared for my special moment of success? As our time is coming to a close, I want to thank you for being here, joining me on Spark Radio. As always, our purpose is to provide you with those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge to be the spark to ignite change in your life so that you can successfully create the life you desire and deserve. If you have questions or comments, or you can send an email to brainbonanza@gmail.com. It's BrainBonanza@gmail.com. and to learn more about the work that I do that can support you to create success in your life, please visit brainbonanza.com. And until next week, I challenge you to take action on one idea you heard tonight to help you make better choices to create success in your life. Thank you so much for investing your valuable resource, your time, with me. Until next time, here's to making great choices, including choosing to create great days as you continue to make a positive difference in the lives you touch. Stay safe.